Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour 2 live in L.A. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio and FS1, Herd Hierarchy in 1 minute. Peter King in about 5 minutes joining us. Great to have you here. Kansas City, tight game with Buffalo. Better team, ran the football, very impressive. And Dallas is awful. Arizona is intriguing. Kyler Murray's got a kingmaker in Cliff Kingsbury, and it's really, really fun to watch. And Joy Taylor's joining me as well.
Excited for tonight, World Series.
Be great. This is fun. This is what it's all about. Great Dodger team. Los Angeles, we've been very lucky. Got a lot of good, a lot of big stars in this town. So my Herd Hierarchy this week, I'm going to have a real accent with it. It is October and November defense is important. October, November football is different. In September, the weather's good. It's sunny. There's no wind. Last night, we saw our first cold weather game, crappy weather game. Football now changes. Physicality matters more. So when I did my top 10 today, I thought about being physical because I think football looks like one thing in September, another thing by late October, and a different game by November and December. And I think last night, the cold weather game, here comes the cold weather. Football's going to change. Here's my Herd Hierarchy.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Chicago Bears. They've held all their opponents under 30. Best in the NFL. I cannot unsee what they did to Tampa Bay. They pushed Tampa Bay around the field. Induced 11 penalties by the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay was absolutely rattled. Physically rattled. Against Chicago. I don't think they have a ton of juice offensively, but I think they're well coached. They've held opponents under 20 points in each of the last 3 weeks. I have Chicago at number 10.
Number 9.
Rams. Why? Because they're favored by 5.5 over Chicago. That's what the analytic mavens and the odds makers think. They did not play well this week. And I know 4-0 against the NFC East, but I think the defense is better than people give it credit for. The Niners were playing with absolute urgency Sunday, and I think this is a very good football team in a tough division, and they've had a lot of travel. This is a good football team. They're favored over the Bears. They can be explosive when Jared Goff has time to throw. I'll put the Rams at 9.
Number 8.
I'm sorry, I put the Packers here. I think they're a September, early October team. I can't unsee them getting pushed around again by Tampa. Pushed around twice last year by San Francisco. Pushed around by the Chargers. Pushed around by Philadelphia. This is a football team that does not like to get into a fistfight. And now the weather changes. Now it gets cold. Now come the physical teams. Yes, Green Bay is fun in September and early October. But I think we have a football team that clearly doesn't have a ton of fight if they play physical football teams. That's what the NFL is starting Sunday and going forward. I got them at 8.
Number 7.
I can't have them above San Francisco. One of the most physical teams, and now their wide receivers are getting healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan are now 4-0 against the Rams. This is a team. Now, their top back is out for the next 3 weeks, and their schedule's not easy. But I look at Kittle, healthy receivers, Garoppolo better, best young coach in football, Kyle Shanahan. I don't want any piece of San Francisco going forward. Now, they're not going to have Bosa. The pass rush is not quite as good. But I like their physicality that was on display Sunday.
Number 6.
I still like the Ravens a lot. I am concerned that Lamar's last 3 games, his completion percentage under 60%. I think they're a very good football team. He is getting very casual in his delivery. A lot of sidearm stuff. They are not as explosive as last year. And what troubles me is their pass rush is wildly inconsistent and they're not as good defensively. I don't know how Philadelphia got back into that game with Carson Wentz, Travis Fulgham, and that was it. It's a good football team, but Lamar feels like he's hit a bit of a ceiling. And I want him to get back on His throwing's getting sloppy. His drops, his escapability, he's moving too far out, too far right. They got to reboot a little in the next couple of weeks.
Number five.
Seattle. I like them. I'd like to see them with Jamal Adams, and they really like some of their young defensive players. They'll get better as the season progresses. Their defense right now gives up 470 yards a game, but you talk about a kink. Russell Wilson makes everything work. I trust Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf now is one of the hardest guys in the league to stop. I think Seattle's a team that has great leadership at key positions. They've got playmakers, Jamal Adams getting healthy, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and I think their young players, they're very encouraged by what they see with their young players. They'll only get better.
Number four.
Pittsburgh, they have playmakers everywhere. How good was that move to get Minkah Fitzpatrick? God, has he been a find. And I'll tell you, Chase Claypool is the closest thing to Calvin Johnson I've seen. He has changed that offense. That guy, you throw him a 7-yard hitch and you cross your fingers, you have a cornerback that can bring him down. Their defense is fantastic. Big Ben's making no mistakes. They are significantly more buttoned up than I thought they would be. I was completely wrong. Pittsburgh at four.
Number three.
By an inch, Kansas City. I loved what I saw last night. I loved the running game. 245 yards. That is the most in the Mahomes era. There are some times defensively they worry me, and they can be a very first half average team. They have a plus 25 point differential in the first half this year. And when you consider some of the teams they played and their talent, they are a slow starting team that worries me.
Number two.
Tennessee Titans. I think Vrabel's the next great coach. They're 16-0 when Derrick Henry runs for over 100 yards. And we got to get over this thing on Ryan Tannehill. I don't care about the Adam Gase Ryan Tannehill. This Ryan Tannehill can play. He's a borderline Pro Bowler. He may not be borderline. He's a real quarterback. I think they're well coached. They're physical. They have an absolute feel for what they are and what they're not. Sometimes wide receiver can be sketchy. I think they're an excellent football team.
Number one.
Tampa Bay, because I think they're a more gifted offensive team with a better defense than Tennessee. That team Sunday, what I saw Sunday, I think they have the best defensive coach in the league, Todd Bowles. I think their defensive front seven, now with McClendon, is going to be a nightmare. I think their secondary is underrated. I think now they're getting healthy on the perimeter. Gronk now is valuable. I think when Fournette comes back, it's Fournette, Ronald Jones, and Shady McCoy. I think they're deep at multiple positions. I think this, on their best day, is the best football team in the National Football League. And I know most of you think I'm nuts. They can play physical. They can play finesse. They can play home. They can play road. And they're getting better. Tampa Bay number one. All right, Peter King probably thinks I'm nuts, but that's what I see right now. I got to tell you, Tennessee right now, watch out. Peter King is now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network, NBCSports.com. So my top 10, I threw it out there. I'll just ask you this. Who is your best team in the league this morning? Your number one team, they can play multiple ways, beat you multiple ways.
I would say my number one team this morning, right now, today, is exactly the number one team that you have, Tampa Bay. And, Colin, when I picked them to go to the Super Bowl in early September, the reaction was, oh, you're in bed with Brady. You're doing this all because of Brady. I said, did you see the way they ended, Tampa Bay ended the year last year? They won four in a row, and in their last two games, Jameis Winston handed both of them away, threw six interceptions in the last two, and they lost two games they should have won. They should have ended last year 9-7 and ended the year on a six-game winning streak. They didn't. And Brady comes in. The one thing you know is he's not going to be as explosive downfield as Jameis Winston, but he's going to take care of the football. And for the most part, he's done that. He's had a couple of pick sixes, but for the most part, he's done that. Colin, I love your number two team. You talked about Ryan Tannehill. I wrote a column this week, and everybody, you know, sometimes you have to change your opinion about players if you're being honest.
Yeah.
If you're not being honest, you can say, Ryan Tannehill, he's the 18th best quarterback in football. eventually he'll get you beat. Hey, look, since opening day 2019, there's a stat in the NFL that offensive coaches love, okay? And that is yards per attempt. And that tells coaches he's willing to throw the ball down the field. He is not just willing to dink and dunk. He's okay throwing it downfield, and you got to complete it downfield. Yards per attempt. Today, Ryan Tannehill is 9.0, and he is 7/10 of a yard better than any quarterback in football since opening day 2019.
Yep.
And Colin, this is a great anniversary. Today is the one-year anniversary of Ryan Tannehill taking the starting job and starting his first game in Tennessee against the Chargers, and they are 12-3 in the regular season since, and 2-1 went on that great playoff run.
And they still feel like an underdog, which is what I love about it. We are all ignoring them because they sometimes they're not flashy offensively, but I got to tell you, that's a team Kansas City doesn't want to play in the playoffs. So I want to talk about Green Bay. There are sometimes, and I love your point about Tannehill, sometimes you just have to admit you're wrong. I have on Tannehill. There's also times when I can't unsee something. And I've seen Green Bay's last five losses. They have been crushed against physical teams. Tampa's defense, San Francisco, Chargers, Philadelphia, and Lambeau. I can't unsee that, Peter. They are a great front-runner team. They lead. They're comfortable. But when you get in the octagon with these guys and it gets into an ugly push-pull, Aaron's getting hit, Peter, they're not the same team. I watched them Sunday and I'm like, it's getting cold out here. This is real power football. That was not just a loss for me with Green Bay. It was a loss coupled on four last year. There's something up about this team against physical teams, is there not?
I can see you saying that, Colin. But I watched that game, and, you know, I see it slightly different, okay? And I watched that game, and I think, you know, great quarterbacks, you know, are usually able to get past an interception or to have a short memory about that. I think Aaron Rodgers was really affected by the Jamel Dean pick six, because remember where we were in the game. It was early in the second quarter. The Packers were dominating them. The Bucs failed on their first two series, and Now Green Bay's got the ball again. And you think in 5 minutes it's going to be 17-0, and this game is over.
Yep.
That Jamel Dean interception is the play of the first 6 weeks of the season. It turned the tide, and it showed that the Packers are mortal. Now, as far as the physical part of it, you know, I think there is something to that. But I also think that when Green Bay has a healthy offensive line and they're playing all their guys, I think they can be pretty physical. I think Aaron Jones, the back, can be a physical running back. But, hey, look, it is what it is. I mean, they got really knocked around by the Bucs. The last two times they played the 49ers, they've gotten embarrassed in both games. So that is something that they've got to prove they can do if you think this team is going to win a Super Bowl.
You know, I was saying what makes a great friend, I could argue, makes a bad owner. A great friend is fun and he's loyal. A great owner is serious and sometimes has to get rid of players he loves because he just can't pay them. Jerry is a great friend, but I watch this organization. You know, drafting CeeDee Lamb was fun. It wasn't the right move. Paying Jalen Smith early was emotional. That's what a good friend does, because they got him in the second round. They felt good about it. It was a good pick by Jerry. But right now, he's not worth that money. And DeMarcus Lawrence, Jerry is loyal. He is fun. He is a good friend. But boy, Bob Kraft, he'll let Belichick, they get let go a year early, never a year late. And I look at the Cowboys right now, and generally iconic brands can heal faster than other bad teams. They either attract stars or they can pay them with revenue. But I don't see a way out for Dallas. I just don't see it here. I think they're up against the cap. They're going to have to pay Dak. I mean, what's the pot of gold end of the rainbow? How do you solve this mess?
The way you solve it, I think, is going back to the same kind of meat and potatoes that made them pick Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel in the draft. That's what they have to do. They can't be emotional about their team right now. And they are playing right now without three of the five building blocks on your offensive line that made it the best line in football. And that's why if I were analyzing the Cowboys right now, I wouldn't go too crazy. They're incapable right now with the offensive line they put on the field. They're incapable of being a dominant team. But what happened in this game against Arizona is they came up against a speed quarterback who is really the most unique single player in football today. They couldn't stop him. But more importantly, they couldn't get anything going consistently on offense. And when they did, Ezekiel Elliott totally screwed it up. There is absolutely no excuse for what Ezekiel Elliott did last night. That was a shameful performance by him. At a time when he has to lift his team, and good for him, at least he admitted it after the game. But that's you cannot fumble twice early in the game when you know your team desperately is relying on you.
So Tua's going to start for the Dolphins. Are you surprised that it happened this week? Fitzpatrick really playing well for them. How surprised are you? Why do you think they went with it?
In the last 3 days in sports, there have been two calls that to me have been exactly the same. One is Kevin Cash pulling Charlie Morton in the sixth inning when he's pitching a masterful game. And Kevin Cash went by the book. The book said Charlie Morton is lousy the third time through a team's lineup. So Kevin Cash just didn't let him go there. He said, we've got pitchers who can get the last 10 outs of this game, and I trust them right now more than I trust Charlie Morton. Me, everybody else on Twitter saying, what a lame brain decision. It worked. And I think similarly, right now, Brian Flores, even though he's beaten a good team, San Francisco, by 26, and then beaten a lousy team, the Jets, by 24 the last 2 weeks, he makes a quarterback change now because he sees that there is this finite ceiling with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They are 3-3 right now and have a chance to really turn around their season. He thinks that this right here is Tua Tagovailoa. That's why I haven't talked to him, but that's why I think he made this call right now.
You know, I want to go back, and I'm not a big romanticizer of sports, but I want to talk about Kyler Murray. Is that I believe this to be true. It's probably true in your career. It's certainly true in mine that we all need a kingmaker, somebody that believes in us. Doug Flutie was a dominant high school and college player. He went to the Canadian Football League. He's one of their greatest players ever. He was 21-9 in Buffalo, but nobody ever believed in him. They were trying to run him out when he was winning. You can go to YouTube today. He was a spectacular talent. He won everywhere, but he never had a kingmaker. Even when he won in the NFL in Buffalo, they wanted Rob Johnson, the big chisel USC. Kyler Murray has a kingmaker. I could look at Kyler Murray's stats. I'd say he's got 10 touchdowns and 6 picks. He's an 89-90 quarterback rate. He was bad in the first quarter. But Cliff Kingsbury, he's like, no. This is my guy. And he's good. Sometimes it's inartistic. And I'm not saying that Doug Flutie is as good as Kyler Murray. But Doug Flutie was an 11th-round pick, and nobody ever gave him a chance. And if he came out today with the success of Kyler and Russell, somebody would put their arms around Doug Flutie and go, this guy is a winner. What do you make of Kyler Murray? He reminds me of Flutie. The difference is this operation has said, we love him. We're going to be there when he grows and makes mistakes, and he makes plenty of them. And I just think it works. I think it's a fantastic experiment, and it works. Your thoughts?
There's a major difference between Flutie and Kyler Murray, and that is Kyler Murray probably right now would be a photo finish in a 40-yard dash with Tyreek Hill. And, you know, Doug Flutie was mobile, and he was quick, and he could make people miss. He's not running a 4.28 40.
Yeah.
And again, maybe he's running a 4.45 40, which is good. I have no idea what he'd run in a 40. But what I'm saying is that last night, Colin, I was exhausted. You know, I was up very late doing my column Sunday night, and I did not really want to stay up for the end of that game. And I didn't, but I stayed up till there was about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Normally, I would have been lucky to make it till halftime. Do you know why I stayed up? Not because I wanted to rain on the Cowboys parade or dance at their funeral, anything like that. It was because Kyler Murray is just damn exciting.
Yeah.
And he's so fun to watch. And he is the best runner as a quarterback I have ever seen. Almost in any particular situation, he can leave the backfield and get 8 yards because he's just so hard to predict where he's going to go and to catch him. I am fascinated by Kyler Murray, but you don't want to make a living running all the time.
Right.
But to me, I think he is tremendously fun. And I'm buying Kyler Murray stock right now.
Yeah, there is some value in the fact that he brings a juice to an operation in Arizona that hasn't had a ton, and he brings an energy and a juice, and he's marketable, and I mean, that matters. I mean, and for a team like that, that absolutely matters. Peter King, NBCSports.com. Great seeing you. Great column this week, Peter.
Thank you, Colin.
All right, we got a lot of stuff. Alex Rodriguez is going to stop by today. Dodgers World Series Rays. This is hopefully one for the ages here. This Dodger team does not trust their bullpen, which makes for high drama in any World Series. They got great players. They don't trust their bullpen. We'll talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tonight, it's Game 1 of the World Series as rookie sensation Randy Arozarena leads the Rays against Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. After a pair of wild seven-game championship series, both teams have their sights set on the Fall Classic tonight at 7:30 Eastern, only on Fox.
And both teams just flawed enough to make it interesting. A lot of young stars in this game, like great, great players, and all sorts of emotion. Baseball sort of allowing players to flip a bat and stare at a home run. There's no crowd. They're providing the juice. I think it's great. Baseball's been very fun in the postseason. A lot of bat flipping and trash talking, and it's been fantastic. And here's Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Pretty miserable game for the Cowboys last night.
Oh, yeah.
Losing to the Cardinals 38-10. Ezekiel Elliott had two fumbles in a three-play span in the second quarter.
Brutal.
Following the game, Zeke talked about how he felt that loss was on him.
I don't think it really was much of what they did. I think it was me. I'm supposed to be a guy this team can rely on. I'm supposed to be a guy that this team can lean on when times get rough. And I just wasn't that today. I got to start off to a terrible start. Defense were playing. They were playing well. But I killed our momentum. I want to say I'm sorry. And this one's on me. And I need to be better for this team.
Yeah, well, it's not totally on you. You weren't great. But that defense is doing you no favors.
No, but it's nice that he said that.
Because yes.
That's rough.
That and was a bad fumble right there.
The Cardinals used Elliott's two fumbles for touchdown drives of 54 and 27 yards.
It definitely set the tone.
And a 14-0 lead.
Yeah, it set the tone.
Not all turnovers are created equal. Those were two bad ones because they capitalized off of them.
Yeah.
And Zeke now has five fumbles this season, losing four. No other running back even has three.
No, it's different.
So this is a legitimate problem for him now. He has 413 yards and five touchdowns so far this season. But to Peter King's point about the Cowboys, their offensive line
is all backups now.
Not great. And to your point earlier, they're sort of chasing the Zeke Dak rookie year.
It's not the same.
And it's not the same team.
Zeke.
They're the number two offensive line in the league.
And now it's one of the weakest. All backups. It's not the same team they're kind of chasing something now, and it's like, okay, let's pivot and move on. This team now has to get significantly better at defense.
I still think they're going to win the NFC East.
It's 6-10.
I still think it's possible, which is on that division and nothing else. But that's just the way that it's set up. The Eagles have a ridiculous amount of injuries. I don't believe in the Washington football team or the Giants, no matter what the situation was this weekend. But you're absolutely right. This is it's a phantom team. Like, they imagine that they're different than they actually are. The defense should be better than it is, and the offensive line is not the same offensive line. So I don't even think that Zeke is not the same guy. I don't think he's exactly the same guy, but you can't compare. The whole situation is different, and we just keep this idea in our mind that it's the same eat, Zeke, eat. It's not the same situation.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think that Dalton is as bad as he looked last night. I don't think that the Cowboys are as bad as they looked last night.
But he's a backup for a reason.
They are what they are at this point. And that division is what it is. And that's I just don't know what changes they can make in season now to get much better than they are. And I also think we probably needed to give them a little more time. We keep forgetting Mike McCarthy is a new coach there. Everything is new. Maybe this year is just a wash for them. I mean, that's not really acceptable for Cowboys fans or that brand, but that could just be the reality of the situation. So after starting 4-0, the Bills have dropped the last two games, and Josh Allen took responsibility for the team's lack of success, tying it directly to his own play.
We weren't good enough. I was not good enough. I got to do a better job. It's plain and simple. I didn't play very good tonight. I know that. I understand that. I can't afford. This team can't afford to have me play poorly. Early on, just not being as accurate with the ball as I should have been, making the right reads, making the right throws.
He wasn't great last night, but I wasn't on Josh Allen that they lost that game.
Well, Buffalo's defense, it's not the same.
Their defense is certainly not the same, and they had a strategy. They weren't going to let Kansas City go over the top.
That's right. Tyreek could have taken the night off.
And Kansas City said, fine, we'll just run the ball. And
they did.
Edwards-Helaire did exactly that.
I couldn't believe it was as close as it was late, because it felt like Kansas City was mauling them for 3 hours.
They dominated them, but it did not feel that way.
It was nice to have an afternoon football game. It was great.
So early. Kansas City rushed for 245 yards. Buffalo rushed for 84 yards, and 42 of them were from Allen. And yeah, I mean, it's just Kansas City dominated that entire game. And then they still had an opportunity to win at the end, because as you mentioned earlier, if they had fumbled that ball, and Buffalo would have had a chance, and they could have won the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone needs to overreact to these two losses from Buffalo. Obviously, the Titans loss was terrible. Losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of people are going to lose to Kansas City Chiefs this year. That's what it is. And Kansas City looks great, and that they showed you yesterday they can win multiple ways. We look at Kansas City and think they can only go over the top, and they're getting Le'Veon Bell next week, so they're only getting better. But I don't want to take too much away from Josh Allen in that game. I don't think that was on him. Finally, the Dodgers have announced that Clayton Kershaw will be the starter for Game 1 of the World Series tonight.
Not a huge pressure game. Game 1 is, if you go out, you give us 6 innings. This is not like a Game 5 or a Game 7. A little less pressure than last performance.
It's his third career Game 1 World Series start. He fanned 11 batters and only allowed one run through 7 innings against Houston in Game 1 of the 2017 World Series. He gave up 5 runs in 4 innings to the Red Sox in Game 1 of the 2018 World Series. The World Series pregame starts tonight at 7 Eastern on FS1, then goes to Fox at 7:30 Eastern. We will have A-Rod on in a little bit to talk all about this series. The Dodgers are favored at minus 200, according to Fox Bets. Tampa Bay Rays at plus 160.
Boy, has Mookie Betts been big. Both defense and offense. How great has he been?
I also love that the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. And
Bucks are
the Lakers won the NBA championship. And now we have the Dodgers and the Rays in the World Series. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this series.
So am I. I think it's going to be a really good series. A lot of great young stars. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Well, Dave Wannstedt won rings with the Dallas Cowboys. He was Jimmy Johnson's defensive coordinator, knows Jerry Jones well. Wannstedt's got more stories than anybody I've ever met. What do we make of the Chicago Bears? He does a bunch of Bears shows in Chicago, lives there. They're 5-1. They push the Buccaneers around the field, so that's something. That's why I like Chicago. You know, I saw them push 2 weeks ago, Tom Brady and that Bears football team around the field, that Bucs team around the field. So Dave Wannstedt coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Want to know what's scary? See how much you could save on car insurance. Switch to Geico. Almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Geico.com. Those Geico comedy writers are excellent. Dave Wannstedt, Bears coach, Dolphins coach, won national championships at Miami with Jimmy Johnson. He won them with the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL with Jimmy Johnson. And he is joining me now. Coach is in Chicago. I got to read you this. So Jane Slater's a great NFL reporter for the NFL Network. Jane Slater, I'm going to read you this. Her tweet, Cowboy players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now they're 2-4. Discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, a player told Jane, totally unprepared, they don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another player, they aren't good at their jobs. Boy, Dave, when you're coaching, if you read that from your locker room, where do you go from here if you're Mike McCarthy? How do you even address that?
Well, that's, you know, that my first reaction is, you know, it's a bunch of comments from guys that probably aren't playing very good and are looking for somebody else to blame. A little bit with the Dallas situation because of how it's structured. You know, everyone knows that the buck stops with Jerry Jones, and it's never been a job, even when Jason Garrett was there and Barry Switzer was there. Since Jimmy left, really, to be honest with you, it hasn't been a job where if the head coach wants to walk, if Mike McCarthy wants to walk into that meeting tomorrow and he finds out, which he'll find out who made the comments, and he wants to cut him on the spot, I don't know if he can do it. I don't know. Where I promise you, it happened when we were at Dallas. And it happened everywhere I've coached. I mean, you've got to have that type of I don't want to use the word authority, but it's got to, the head coach has got to be the guy that the buck stops with, not the owner. And I think that could be a little bit of the problem. The players know that. We'll go deal with Jerry and see where it goes. So it's not a good situation. Obviously, then you're not playing good football and you got injuries. I mean, it's a perfect storm going on right now.
Well, I think the players know it. Players know Jerry has all the power. And so if you don't have a little fear for the coach, I mean, you're done. So very interesting. You coached Miami Dolphins, and it can be a very fickle sports town. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, the last 2 weeks, has played great football, and they're now going to have Tua start. Interesting. Would you do it, and what does it say?
Well, number one, they got a bye week to get ready. And you got to go back in history a little bit. Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator. Chan was with me. He was my offensive coordinator at the Dolphins. I was with him in Buffalo. I talked to him before he took this job. I think the real reason that he took the job was because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan was our quarterback at Buffalo. Fitzy goes to the Jets with Todd Bowles. Chan goes to the Jets. So I think that Fitz had a good year last year, and you got to think how this whole – you got to see the big picture here. He has a good year last year. Brian Flores, the head coach, is talking to Fitz. We're going to draft a quarterback, Fitz. We want you to bring him along. Fitz is a great guy, absolutely. Then who are we going to hire that could tutor this young quarterback? Fitz probably says the best quarterback coach I've ever been around is Chan Gailey. Chan all of a sudden comes out of retirement. He's back. And I promise you this, knowing Fitz personally, knowing Chan, this is going to be as positive a situation trying to get the young quarterback. Fitz will have as good an attitude not starting as he would starting. I really believe that. And so there's a lot of moving parts that went into this decision, but I think that everybody is 100% this move.
Dave Wannstedt has more information than any coach I've ever met, knows everybody.
Well, you called and asked me to go on the show. What do you want me to do? Just sit here and let you talk? I hear you all Sunday. You're the only guy who talks on our kickoff show on Sunday. I got to get something in.
So I like my teams. I do think, Dave, as it gets colder weather, I look for physicality. I like physical football teams. Last night, windy, crappy weather. It's offensive line for Kansas City controlled the game. I watched the Packers play Sunday. The last five losses for Green Bay, that game against Tampa, two against San Francisco, Eagles, Chargers last year, the last five times they've gotten into a fist fight, a physical game, they've been rolled. I mean, that to me looks like who they are. They're great with a lead. They're great when they're comfortable. But to me, it looks like the way to beat Green Bay is punch them right in the neck and get physical with them. And that's what it looks like to me. Is there a front-running, finesse, play-with-a-lead team? Is that fair?
No, I don't. I disagree. I hear what you're saying, but I've seen them come from behind. I really think that they thought it was going to be a little bit easier. And let's look at what Tampa did. Zero penalties, zero turnovers, zero sacks. If Tampa did that against the Bears the week before, the results might have been the same. And I'm a Bears fan. You know that. But so my point is that Tampa played flawlessly. They were more ready to play. I heard comments from the head coach at Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers after the game. They were disappointed. They did not like their preparation going into the week. So I think I'm not as hard. I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay to win because at least I think they can run the ball and play good defense. Chicago's right on their heels. It's going to be, they've got to play them twice. You know, I got to see the Bears run the ball. You talk about cold weather. I'm sitting here in a sweatshirt. Okay. It's going to be cold and the Bears are going to have to run the ball against some of these teams. So we'll see what happens, but I still like Green Bay to win the division.
So who's the best team? The best team in football this morning is who?
Boy, I know you. I know. I saw your ratings. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, you're from Pittsburgh, though.
They're the most complete team right now. The way James Conner's playing, and they might have three, maybe four of the best receivers. Big Ben's playing, and then we saw the numbers. You did a great job. You and Joy did a great job of putting up those Steeler numbers up there. I know we're Joy's from Pittsburgh also. And it's I like Pittsburgh right now. I think they're the team to beat.
Yeah, they got a bunch of that Claypool kid, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Oh. Boy, how about Minkah Fitzpatrick, Coach? Did you ever bring a guy on when you were with any of your teams and they made a trade for him and he came on? And if day one, he's a total playmaker. I mean, in your career, did you ever make a trade for a guy, bring him in to a new system, and he made an impact immediately?
Probably Ricky Williams would be the only one that I could think of at the Dolphins when we traded for him, but not a defensive back. I mean, that's almost unheard of, you know, and he's done it consistently, and boy, the teams feed off him. It's really amazing.
It is. Dave Wannstedt, Bears, Dolphins, Pitt head coach, national titles at Miami, Super Bowl champ with the Cowboys. Great seeing you, Coach, and we will talk soon.
Okay, see you Sunday.
You bet. Dave Wannstedt has more connections on that Sunday show. He has more connections than any football person I've ever met. He has coached Pitt, Miami, Cowboys, Dolphins, Bears. He does radio hits all week. He knows everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, I will ask Dave Wannstedt, he and Jimmy Johnson, I would pay money to be a fly on the wall when they're drinking Heinekens. They know everybody. I can ask Jimmy Johnson about a random offensive line coach in the Big 12, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, I hired him back at Oklahoma State. He had trouble with this. He was really good at this. You know, he's good friends with – it's incredible. As somebody who grew up loving football, you're like, he knows everybody. It'd be like sitting down with Joe Torre in baseball. You know, he's been a broadcaster, National League, American League, and you're like, man, this guy knows every – and Dave's such a likable guy like a Joe Torre that he makes friends with everybody he works with. So I love bringing him on the show. He is so good. So A-Rod's going to be joining us last hour of the show. Upgrade to wiper blades that are good in bad weather, available at Walmart. They're called Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades, only at Walmart. By the way, Joy talked about this earlier. This is insane. The Eagles' Zach Ertz is going to be out a month, and Miles Sanders is out against the Giants. We give, every time Drew Brees loses, well, he doesn't have Michael Thomas. Okay, but Drew Brees does have Alvin Kamara, Emmanuel Sanders, a top six offensive line, a brilliant head coach, and Jared Cook at tight end. Every time Julio Jones is hurt. Well, Matt Ryan doesn't have Julio Jones. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams.
Look
at this list for Carson Wentz. It is insane. And I, by the way, when Devontae Adams is out, I do think it's harder for Aaron Rodgers. And when Julio Jones is out or Michael Thomas is out, this is insane. That's the whole starting team out, and they almost beat the Ravens. People just make decisions. It's like Andrew Luck. He went 11-5, 11-5, 11-5 with one elite corner. They had a kicker, a corner, and Andrew Luck, and they kept winning 11 games a year. You can't do that in this league. You can't win 11 games with no Pro Bowlers. A horrible offensive line. But you decided he was overrated. And people have just decided with Carson Wentz, hey, he doesn't win enough big games. It's insane. Put that out one more time. for our radio audience that is can't see this, Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, Lane Johnson, Andre Dillard, Jason Peters, Brandon Brooks. Out. It's like a good pitcher. Out. Insane. Twilight, Carson Wentz, and Andrew Luck. What do you overcome? Hour 3, A-Rod in L.A. coming up next.